Again, it is good to be here, my brothers and sisters, this fifth Sunday of Easter. The Lord has called us to be together, and the bishop has actually called us as priests to preach on a specific topic that is not an easy one to preach about, but it's a very important one to preach about. And what it is on the occasion this summer of Humani Vitae. We are going to celebrate 50 years of an encyclical called Humani Vitae, on human life. It'll be July 25th, since it was penned 50 years ago by Pope Paul VI. And most of us in the room probably know what the matter in it was, and so there are some in the room for which it really doesn't matter anymore. It's past the time where it would be significant for you. And there are some young people in the room that it could be very difficult to speak too clearly about it, for they would be bringing up too many questions but I'm going to try to find some way to navigate it so that it will be good for everybody to hear and something that you can explain to your children. Because we know, of course, Humani Vitae dealt with a matter that was a struggle for all Christian faiths at the time, the whole world, in fact. Contraception, artificial contraception. You doing something to stop the natural course of events for a mother and a husband and a wife to become mother and father. And all the voices in the world were kind of going along with the world's desires and certainly the struggles that come with procreation, with bringing children into the world, and saying, okay, well, we can do it in this occasion, we can allow it in that occasion. One voice, and one voice only, stood up and said, no. We cannot do it. And just like when Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees in Matthew's gospel that said, you know, why don't you allow divorce? Why don't you allow divorce, Jesus? What's your problem with that? Everybody's doing it. And literally, in 1968, everybody was saying it's okay. Only the church said no and followed Jesus and said, from the beginning, it was not so, from the beginning. And so that's what the church continues to teach. She doesn't say it's easy. Jesus didn't say, oh, marriage is easy. Just get along. He didn't say that. But he said, from the beginning, God made them male and female, and the two become one flesh, and they are called to be fruitful. And so what I want to do today is maybe take a different tact on this than just talking about the facts, although I will bring up some. And that is, look at the way John Paul II taught us about it in Theology of the Body. And I'm particularly going to talk to my brothers today, because John Paul II said in Theology of the Body that it's particularly the man's job to stand up first, to do what is right, to lead his bride, by dying to himself so that she sees his masterful way of being heroic for her and responds in the same way. It's the most beautiful way to express it. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about, in a particular means of artificial birth control, we have the contraceptive pill that literally goes into her body and literally changes her. Woman is incredible because of the way God created her. And in fact, John Paul II said she's a mystery. Probably no man in this world, and no man in this room, they wouldn't agree with that. She's a mystery. But she's a beautiful mystery to be unlocked, John Paul says. He uses beautiful mystical language. He takes it from Song of Songs. He said she's like an enclosed garden that a man should take very seriously and be very careful in unlocking that garden and the beauty that's in there. A large part of that mystery is found in her fertility, in her cycle, in her motherhood. Even if she has no children or never will have children, because she is woman, she is mother. That defines her. That defines you, my sisters. It defines you.
And one of the things that, the artificial contraception, the pill does, and this actually comes from a 2010 study, is a quote, "Birth control pills have structured effects on the regions of the brain that govern higher order cognitive activities, suggesting that a woman on birth control pills may literally not be herself anymore." That cycle, the things that she goes through when she's, Dr. Janet Smith taught us in the seminary, that a woman literally every day of the month is a different woman. There's a chemical difference in her every day of the month. It's coming from a woman. And she said, I know the effects of that. There's a beauty in the effects of that. And these artificial means of trying to control that take away some of her beauty, some of who she is. And yeah, that there's a struggle for a man to understand that beauty, and that struggle could be controlled by his desire to control it. Or it could be flourished by his desire to control himself. Say, this is what she is, and I love her, and I'm going to learn to love her more and more and more. One of the beautiful, again, things that we hear in the scripture today, the Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. Living in the manner in which God has created us, I am not going to stand here and say it's easy. The church has come to work on something and called science to work on something called natural family planning. And it's come a long way from what used to be called the rhythm method. And there are many different methods of understanding her fertility, understanding how her body works. And remember, John Paul II says, it isn't just her body, she is her body. It's her. Understanding how she works chemically, physiologically, along with the spiritual and the mental capacities of this beautiful woman is extraordinary, and science is coming a long way in that. But it is not going to be without struggle, because she is different than me. And it says in the first reading today, we hear that Paul spoke out boldly about that. And every man should be bold in expressing his love to his wife by saying, I want you to be what you are. And in fact, I want to raise you up and help you to become what you are, not take away what you are, so that I can actually become something that I should not be. That I should not be. Now, my brothers and sisters, we hear a tough reading, the second reading from John. He says, Beloved, our hearts do not condemn us. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Now, that can sound difficult, but I want to say to you today, I do not condemn. The Holy Spirit does not condemn, but he convicts. He convicts our heart. And if your heart is convicted today, all I'm going to ask you to do is this, especially as couples. First of all, I want to give you another statistic. 80%, this was a 2013 study. 80% of husbands that have used natural family planning in the United States felt that NFP was very helpful to their marriage. That's 80% of men who have experienced it. 85% of the women say the same for the use of NFP, that they have found it to be very helpful to their marriage. Again, it doesn't take away the struggles, but it's very helpful and beautiful. So I'm going to have some challenges here. And again, the challenge is mostly to my brothers. A man must die to himself and be willing to love and protect all that she is. And that's going to cause some wounds. Like Jesus, a couple weeks back, he came back to Thomas and they showed him his hands. His hands were filled with wounds. His feet were wounded. Oh yeah, it will be a wound. But how much your bride will love, know your love in the wound that you're willing to bear for her. So what I'd ask you to do is, maybe this a little homework. Pray. Pray about God's design for each other. Why did he create her this way? Why did he create me this way? Pray together as a couple. Acknowledge your fears together, especially before God with each other. Fear of having more children. How are we going to do this? What if that happens? Of course, again, natural family planning doesn't mean, and this is a very, very false understanding, that you must have as many children as you can. No. It means you prayerfully work with God and adjust your habits according to her fertility if it's not time. Or prayer about your fears. Maybe you speak to each other about your fear of a lack of affection, that if we aren't able to show that form of affection as often as I would like. And I, again, challenge my brothers. The studies show men want to receive affection physically. It's part of us. It's part of our nature. Where woman generally tends, my sisters, tell me if I'm wrong, wants to receive affection emotionally. And so often I hear my brothers say, well, she needs to learn how to control her out-of-control emotions. Well, maybe I need to learn how to control my out-of-control physical needs for her. It's a both and. And it's beautiful. So again, pray that God helps me to see the design of her. She sees the design of me. Talk to her about it. Talk to him about it. Talk about your fears together in front of God. And then read something together. Theology of the body is something very beautiful, and there's all kinds of things written about it. And I would suggest not starting with the one that John Paul II wrote. It's very high philosophy. But starting with something like a Mary Healy book. Men and women are from Eden, not from Mars and Venus. They're from Eden, the same place. And then learn how to love her by protecting her, not just some of her, but all of her. Today also, Bishop wants us to look at our DSA again this year. I think you started it last week, and Father Brian is going to come out in a moment, right after I'm done, to talk about it. And one of the things the Bishop has, again, put his money where his mouth is into marriage. We have now a full-time marriage director at the diocese who's just getting things started on more help on how do we see the beauty of marriage. And soon a full-time natural family planning director. So he is taking this seriously, not to condemn, but to convict and to help, to see the beauty, because he knows, as I do, as a celibate man, when I see marriages that fully seek to understand each other, I see beautiful marriages. And there's nobody in the room who does not want to see beautiful marriages. God bless you all.